hear me okay? Mic working? Right, that's fine. Right. Well, good evening and welcome to our evening service. So it's nice to hear you singing before the beginning of the service. We're going to continue to worship the Lord. We're going to rise and sing a hymn. It'll be up on screen. Jesus is the name we honor. Jesus is the name we praise. Let's rise and sing together. Usually, during our evening services, when Robbie's here, he'll often ask one of the older men in the congregation to come up and share in prayer. So, of course, I'm going to ask Norman to come and pray.
Now, before I pray, Andrew, I'm going to give you an advert for a book, which I think you should get for the church library. In fact, you should get a few copies, one for yourself as well. Let me explain. When I was doing in the Charlotte Chapel, before Christmas actually, I bought a few copies of these books, one of which I haven't given to you yet. And Derek Prime, you remember Derek Prime, who was the pastor at Charlotte Chapel Baptist Church, and of course he must be in his late 80s now, I suppose. And he wrote a book in his retirement called A Good Old Age. I think I mentioned this in a Bible study a few weeks ago, but it's the A to Z of how to be old, right? Now, The pastor who was then, you know, when we were here on the Sunday morning, Derek Prime came up and was interviewed by the current pastor. Can't remember what the guy's name is, Paul Rees, is it, or something. And Derek Prime says to him, now, when Paul was writing about the old men, it was the men who had reached the age of 50, right? Now, so I'm going to give you a copy of this book, Andrew, but... Yeah. But you know, you have to prepare. That's what I'm saying. But anyway, I've started reading this book, and it's an A to Z of how to be old gracefully. Right now, Andrew, you've a long way to go again. But you know, we need to prepare an A to Z. So I would thoroughly recommend you get a few copies of this. And I have some copies in the house, by the way. If anybody's wanting a copy, okay. But I'm still working through it myself. Okay, right, let's pray. Lord, we want to thank and praise you tonight, regardless of the age, the physical age of how we are. Lord, that I pray that each of us would be young in our hearts in terms of singing to you, the Lord, a new song. For you, Lord, have done marvelous things. Your right hand and your holy arm have worked salvation for you. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. And Lord, we want to thank and praise you tonight for what you've done in our lives. And regardless of putting an age on us, Lord, we want to experience your renewal day by day. And each of us have just got the day, really. None of us have got tomorrow yet. But we're looking forward to tomorrow. But we want to rejoice today in this day that you have made. And for your salvation, your great salvation for each one of us. And we need your salvation, Lord. This is not a one-off experience. This is a day-to-day living relationship with you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word this morning through Graham Mayer, and to say that we've got a great salvation is so much of an underestimate, because we're amazed at the salvation that you give. As we've sung the night already about the privilege of being washed in the blood of the Lamb, the precious Lamb of God, who cleanses us from all sin. Lord, we would never be deemed confessing our own sins, and that's so for day to day. Lord, we pray that we would mature, that we would grow, that we would go past the foundational truths, Lord, and the basics in our lives, and to be changed into your likeness. May this be a reality in each of our hearts, Lord. And we thank you for Andrew here, who's so willing to preach your word here and in other places. We pray your blessing upon him as he's spoken to you tonight and as he delivers your message. So, Lord, we pray for each other. And we pray, Father, that we would encourage one another. We pray for Robbie and Michelle and the family there, and pray that they would have been a refreshing time on holiday. And bless those who are on holiday just now, those who are near here, Lord. And we pray for each other that we would sing this new song to you from day to day. And Lord, as we grow older, because we're all growing older from day to day, we just pray that we would be changed into your likeness, and that we would be truly your servants who have a revelation of you in such a great way, and rejoice in your salvation. So we give you thanks for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Now we're going to read from Jeremiah 52, the first few verses. This is not the passage we're looking at tonight, but if we read this, it'll give us the context of what we are looking at. We're looking at Lamentations 3, Great is Your Faithfulness, this evening. But let's get the background from Jeremiah 52 and the first 11 verses, and then we'll sing another hymn this evening. Really speaking about the fall of Jerusalem, which leads into the song, if you like, of Lamentations. So Jeremiah 52, reading from verse 1. Zedekiah, sorry, I see some people still looking, that's okay. I'll just get a few more seconds. Get started again. Then Jeremiah 52, reading from verse 1. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. But because of the anger of the Lord, things came to the point in Jerusalem and Judah that he cast them out from his presence. Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. In the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came with all his army against Jerusalem and laid siege to it. They built siege works all round it, so the city was besieged till the 11th year of King Zedekiah. On the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine was so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then a breach was made in the city, and all the men of war fled and went out from the city by night by the way of a gate between the two walls by the king's garden, while the Chaldeans were round the city. They went in the direction of Arabah. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. And they captured the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah, in the land of Hamath, and he passed sentence on him. The king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and also slaughtered all the officials of Judah at Riblah, put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him in chains. And the king of Babylon took him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death. Amen. So as I say, I'll give us a bit of background into what we're looking at tonight. Let's sing again another hymn well known to us. It'll be up on screen. All I once held dear built my life upon. We'll rise and sing together.
Thank you.
There's not really many announcements to give. You do remember and get a copy of the bulletin if you've not already got one. Just a word about what's on this week in the Calvary Church. They're having their anniversary. So there's a series of meetings with Dennis Lyle from Northern Ireland from Monday through to Friday. There's meetings on a mixture of ministry and gospel meetings at 7:30. So I do feel free. I'm sure if you go along there, you'll be made most welcome this week. 7:30 each night this week. As a result of that, we have decided to cancel our midweek meeting as well on Wednesday. So no midweek meeting here. Of course, the meeting will be on in Calvary over at 7:30. The following week, speaking of midweek meetings, the following week there's a church meeting as well, which is open to everyone, of course, and we'll be meeting to discuss the pension deficit and other matters in the church as well, as we're seeking to know the way ahead. It's my responsibility to take the service tonight. Robbie's just finishing off his holiday. I'm sure you were blessed with Graham Mayer. I know many of you were blessed with Graham Mayer. Graham Mayer's ministry this morning. It's good he was able to come and join us. He's a busy man these days, but we're blessed with his ministry. So I'm on tonight, but Robbie's back to work tomorrow, and God willing, he will be back in the pulpit next Sunday. I think these are all the announcements. Just a reminder as well, do pray for the Christianity Explorers, and we're building up to it this month, beginning on the 22nd of April. It's just 3 weeks. It's 2 weeks' time. 2 weeks' time. So it'll start at 5:30. So do pray for it and keep it in mind over these next couple of weeks. There's a note about it in the bulletin for more information too. I think that's all the announcements that I need to make. Let's come back then to the scripture, and this is what we're looking at this evening. Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to begin from verse 19. Lamentations chapter 3, it's a large passage, 66 verses, so we're not going to read the whole chapter, but we will read from verse 19 to 36. Lamentations. Of course, if you kept a marker in from Jeremiah 52, you've only a page or two to turn over. But Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19, reading from verse 19. It's widely believed that Jeremiah himself wrote Lamentations. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust, there may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. But he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. To crush underfoot all the prisoners of the earth, to deny a man justice in the presence of the Most High, to subvert a man in his lawsuit, the Lord does not approve. Amen. So let's sing our third hymn this evening before we come to the Word of God. And it's How Lovely on the Mountains Are the Feet of Him. The words come from Isaiah 52. We'll rise and sing. Chorus, of course, speaks about our God reigns. Let's rise and sing together.
Lovely are the mountains on the feet of men.
Let's bow in prayer then before we come to the Word of God this evening. Heavenly Father, thank you for...
Celebrate that Jesus lives. Celebrate the love that He gives. Ever and ever, Hosanna will say, because of that Easter day. Because of that Easter...
That's wonderful. I start praying and there's a spontaneous burst of praise like that. It's wonderful. Thank you, Sarah. Well, thank you, Sarah. But I'll just... I should, of course, echo Graham's thanks this morning. Thanks to Sarah, to Andrew for his playing, and, of course, to those stewarding at the door. Thanks for the work you do in the church here. Now, let's try and pray again. Let's come before the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your presence this evening. We do ask you to speak to us from your word. This is maybe a book of the Bible we don't look at much. We pray you'd speak to us and bring the words afresh to us. These are words we've maybe sung regularly in church, Lord. Again, just bring it all afresh to us. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Encourage us in our faith. And bless the preaching of your word as well tonight throughout the course. Maybe Graham Mayer, if he's preaching somewhere tonight, wherever he is, or maybe just having fellowship in his house. Thank you for his ministry this morning. Be with others preaching in the villages round about. Be with those away on holiday as well at this time. We just pray you'd bless them, encourage them, wherever they may be at this time. But Lord, speak to us in a very real and personal way from your word. Speak to us from your word. Teach us by your spirit and be glorified, Lord. And help us, Lord, as we hear the word, to go and do it afterwards, Lord, to put it into practice, Lord. And may our life, work, and witness be pleasing to you and bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, for a 40-year period, Jeremiah exercised a ministry to his nation. I think some of you might have been at a meeting a couple of weeks ago dedicated to a man who's been exercising a 50-year ministry. And we do give thanks for the ministry of Tim Barker. And he's no doubt, we do continue to pray for him and remember him in his ministry at Lonwy and Crimmy. That's a 50-year ministry that some of us met together and celebrated out at the Crimmin Church a couple of weeks ago. Well, this ministry wasn't 50 years, it was 40 years. Some ministries are longer than others. But a 40-year period, Jeremiah exercised a prophetic ministry to the people of Judah. What was Jeremiah's great theme? Isaiah, we're singing some words from Isaiah a few moments ago. Isaiah is often known as the evangelical prophet, prophet of good news then. The great theme of Jeremiah, he's often known as the weeping prophet. Isaiah is the evangelical prophet. Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. And the great theme of that Jeremiah preached throughout the 40 years was a theme of judgment. And it would come in the form of chastisement. Where would the chastisement come from? It would come from the Babylonian army. And the people whom Jeremiah was preaching to, he's given this message of judgment, and the people who he's preaching to deserve God's punishment. Why? They deserve God's punishment because of their idolatry, because they turned away from the Lord God. Now, we were reading Jeremiah 52 a little bit earlier in the service. Now, 586 BC, what happened was that King Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Jerusalem. In Jeremiah 52. You can also read about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, if you bear with me for a moment. The last chapter of 2 Chronicles in verse 15, the Lord, the God of their father, sent persistently to them by his messengers, which Jeremiah is one, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. They kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words, scoffing at his prophets. Instead of being repentant and humbling themselves before the Lord, they rebelled, they were disobedient. Until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, until there was no remedy. Therefore he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, or the Babylonians, that's Nebuchadnezzar, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, old man or aged. He gave them all into his hand. Though the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. He burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, and burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious vessels. And he took into exile in Babylon those who had escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and to his sons until the establishment of the kingdom of Persia. As you can see, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, they showed them no mercy. So Nebuchadnezzar, in 586 BC, laid siege to Jerusalem. Judah was left as a province of Babylon, ruled by a man called Gedaliah. Gedaliah was a governor appointed by the Babylonians. After 2 months, Gedaliah was murdered. Now, Jeremiah had a choice of what? He could stay in the land, or he could join the exiles. What did he do? Well, for the time being, he stayed put. But after Gedaliah's death, some were afraid of Babylonian retaliation, and they asked Jeremiah to seek God's will. God answered. God's answer was what? He told them to do, stay in the land, don't flee to Egypt. But the people did not obey. They went to Egypt, and Jeremiah went with them unwillingly. And the flight to Egypt and the exile to Babylon, you can imagine the situation, the flight to Egypt from one group and the exile to Babylon with another, it means that Judah is left seriously depopulated. Now, the book of Lamentations was most likely written by the prophet Jeremiah. This is the prophet's song of sorrow. Now, you have in the Bible, of course, Solomon's Song of Songs, which is a completely different message. But the prophet's song, Lamentations, is the prophet's song of sorrow. The song of sorrow at the destruction of Jerusalem. And he wept. He was the weeping prophet, and he wept. Now, Lamentations consists of five chapters. Each is an acrostic poem. Each verse begins with one of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Each chapter ends with a prayer, except for chapter 4, which leads into chapter 5, which is a complete prayer. The central chapter, obviously, five chapters, central chapter is chapter 3. But it describes Judah's sufferings in terms of the experience of an individual. The prophet's feelings pour out. And in the first 18 verses, which we didn't read this evening, but in the first 18 verses, the prophet pours out his soul. It's a prayer of grief, and his feelings come out with grief and perplexity. But there's a turning point, and it's in verse 19. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. The clouds disperse. The light begins to shine through. And in the midst of affliction, and these terrible things that's been happening, in the midst of affliction, Jeremiah sees that God is faithful. God is faithful. So in the midst of the book of Lamentations, the very title Lamentations suggests something dreary and depressing, doesn't it? Lamentations, a song, a dirge song. But in the midst of the lamentations, in the midst of all this that's going on, in the midst of the words of the weeping prophet, we begin tonight with an encouragement, verses 19 to 24. We've got an encouragement, and then we've got a call to persevere, and then to finish off, we have a word of assurance as well. So let's look then at an encouragement, verses 19 to 24. Remember my affliction, my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Here's the break, the chink of light coming through. Jeremiah looks at the situation. He's pouring out his lamentations before God. It's a bitter experience. He has, verse 5 of the chapter, he has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. It's a bitter experience. Remember my affliction, the wormwood and the gall. It's a bitter experience. Let's just look at that for a moment, the wormwood and the gall. Gall, what was gall? What is gall? Gall, transliterated, it's a plant with obscure fruit. You see, it's associated with wormwood. All right, Bible experts, where else do you find the word wormwood in Scripture? You find it in the book of Revelation, which we're looking at this morning, of course. But wormwood, when the waters become bitter. Remember Revelation chapter 8, verse 11. Extremely bitter. It's all to do with bitterness. Fruit, then. Obscure fruit, and it's bitter. So it's a bitter experience. Fruit that's extremely bitter to taste. And it represented rather, all this comes together, the wormwood and the gall. And again, that's a line from one of our famous hymns, isn't it? Crown him Lord of all. But this, the wormwood and the gall, represents really unpleasant experiences. But a change is coming. Okay, it's all been bitter. There's been much affliction up till now. Everything's been just a bitter experience. But a change is coming. The light's breaking through in verse 21. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. A change is coming. The prophet remembers God. He looks up to God. He can bring it to God. He can look up and he can remember God, and he has hope in the midst of his trials. And he says the words that you and I are familiar with and that we'll sing at the end of the service this evening in verse 23. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Now, okay, in what way is God faithful? In what way is God faithful? We're told, Paul says that if we deny him, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. God is faithful. In what way is God faithful? You see it if you look at the passage. You see, great is your faithfulness. In verse 22, we see the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The steadfast love. Now, I can translate in the original Hebrew, the steadfast love is the great love, the loving kindness, the grace, the favor, the goodness of God. And these are reasons why this man, Jeremiah, this is why you and I need not be overwhelmed and destroyed by the trials of life. That's reasons why Jeremiah wasn't totally swallowed up by it all. Reasons why we are not overwhelmed and destroyed by the trials of life, because we believe in the steadfast love of God. The steadfast love of God never ceases. And then we move on from the steadfast love to mercies. Mercies. I said that the Babylonians, the words I used when I was speaking about the Babylonians' treatment of the people of Judah, they showed them no mercy. Well, the Lord is full of mercy. His mercy, we're told here, it never comes to an end. And he continues to show his steadfast love and his kindness. Mercy. And they are new every morning. They are new every morning. As we'll sing, morning by morning, new mercies I see. New every morning. That means, really, they keep on coming. They have a freshness about them. Day by day, you and I are consistently and regularly, all the time, we are in need of God's blessings. And in God, in his faithfulness, he gives them. Count your blessings, name them one by one. It's the famous old hymn. He gives them. We take them for granted so often. But morning by morning, they're fresh, they keep on coming. They have a freshness about them as well. Day by day, we need God's blessings, and day by day, God and his grace and his mercy and his steadfast love, he pours them out on us. And as trials come, the mercies of God are always there, ready for you and I to trust in them. The Lord is my portion. Look at Psalm 73. Here's a man who was wrestling with the problems of life, the psalmist. The Psalm of Asaph, not the Psalm of David, but we read these words, Psalm 73, 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail. So there's a man who might be, you know, totally pressed down by the cares, the trials of life. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The Lord is my portion. So the Lord is my portion, says the psalmist, and we have it here in verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Now, what does the word portion mean? We're familiar with portions, aren't we? When we're having our food and you're out to the carvery, maybe it's the banker or the leisure centre, and you want a portion of meat or potatoes or vegetables or whatever to go into your plate. It comes from the word portion means a root, meaning to divide, to divide. And really, what Jeremiah said in the passage here is, "The Lord is my part; with this portion, I am satisfied." You see, through all the trials and the difficulties, these awful things that's happened in the life of Jeremiah, his country's been taken over. There's been these awful things going on. He's had to leave his country unwillingly. He's had to go into Egypt, didn't want to. The people he's been preaching to have disobeyed, have had disregard for God. There's been no repentance. And all of this is going on. He's looking over what's left of the city. Jeremiah finds his comfort in the Lord. All these awful things have happened, but he seeks his comfort in the Lord. He suffered much more than you and I ever will. But he's an example to you and to me. When all earthly comforts, now all earthly hopes fail, when people disappoint us, the Lord is our portion forever. See, the Lord, he's a God of steadfast love. He's a God whose love never ceases, a God of mercy, which never comes to an end. He pours out his blessings day by day. He's our portion. In him we can rest content. We can trust in him. The Lord is our portion forever. There's an encouragement there, right in the middle of the book of Lamentations. And then we have a call in verses 25 to 30, a call to persevere. Verse 25, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." It's the kind of verse you get in these wooden plaques that you can put up in your house or if you've got these calendars with the text day by day. "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." We're called to keep going, to persevere. Jeremiah continues with this idea of trust in God. Now note the idea of waiting for him there in verse 20. And waiting quietly for God and for the salvation of the Lord there in verse 26. That really means that waiting for the salvation, it means waiting for deliverance, waiting for help. It's waiting upon the will of God. And so you've got this idea of waiting. You've also got the idea of seeking, haven't you? The soul in verse 25 who seeks him. Waiting, seeking. What does it mean to wait and to seek? Well, here we are. It's an acknowledgement. This is why, you know, we have to lean on God, to pray. It's an acknowledgement of our constant need of him and his mercy. Morning by morning, new mercies we see, but we have an acknowledgement here. We need to wait and seek, look to the Lord, and it's an acknowledgement of our constant need of God and his mercy and his daily blessings, and we need to persevere patiently in the faith, and we need day by day to continually go to him. Go to him for grace and to seek him and to wait upon him. We need to go to him for grace in our time of need. And that's a promise that we'll receive it. You've got a picture here of waiting on the Lord and a picture of surrender to his will. Verse 27, "It's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." That's the time in life, of course, when a person has the strength to bear. We've had a little bit of a debate tonight as to what youth means. Is it the 40s, is it the 50s, or whatever? But, certainly a time of youth. When you're younger, that's when people have the strength to bear things more easily. And it's also a time of character forming, preparation for later life, learning discipline. Tutor of mine used to say, "As now, so then," meaning that when you were younger, the habits you developed in your youth or in your younger years would be the ones you would carry on in your later life. He was a wee bit concerned about students who were up late watching TV. No, seriously, I was never one of those, seriously, believe it or not. But he was a bit concerned, the man was a bit concerned about students and having long lives in the morning and missing the worship devotion services. As now, so then, the habits you develop in your younger years would be the ones you carry on into later life. So you've got this picture, though, of surrendering to God's will, character forming. And in verses 28 to 30, let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Silence is seen here as a form of resignation to God's will, seen in the Psalms as well. And of course, we remember the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. And from Isaiah 53, what are we told? He was oppressed and afflicted. What did he do? He opened not his mouth. He was obedient to the will of God, of course, in every way, our Lord Jesus Christ. And in offering his cheek, the captive, in verse 30, let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. The captive gives the idea of absolute surrender, exemplified by our Lord Jesus Christ before his crucifixion, totally submissive to God and to his will. The innocent suffered in obedience to God's will, no retaliation. He opened not his mouth. And what? So you've got this idea of being totally submissive to God and total obedience to God's will. And our example, of course, to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He went forward, he carried out his mission. And complete and total surrender and total obedience to God, his Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. Now, we consider the situation Jeremiah is witnessing, Jerusalem is suffering, but the sufferings are not the end. Not God's final purpose for his people, it's all part of God's master plan. God's people are called to endure for a season. For Christ's suffering was the path to glory. For Christ's suffering was fulfilling the mission, the plan of God. And of course, it would result in the salvation of his people, you and I. Sufferings are not the end as well for the people of God. It's not the end for the people of God here. The situation of Judah are going through. They will return from exile. And God will continue to work out his plans for the nation and indeed for the whole world. Through these people. God's people are called to endure for a season. You and I will be called to endure trials and suffering for a season. I certainly know that from personal experience. I'm sure you can testify to that too. But we're called to endure. Trials are not forever. Can we endure? How can we endure? Well, we can endure in the following way. Hebrews chapter 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's our hope. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ went ahead. He did not retaliate. He could have called legions of angels to set him free, but he did not. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He endured, and you and I are called to endure by looking to him. Not looking to him as an example, but depending on his strength, on his grace. Depending on him, seeking him, submitting to him. We can endure by looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter. That's what we're called to do, to look to him, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So we've got our encouragement in the midst of the trials, the mercy and the faithfulness of God, the blessings we receive day by day. We have a call to persevere. Times can be hard, but Christ endured. Christ went all the way. And in his grace and with his help, with his strength, with the work of his Spirit within us, we can also endure. Looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Finally this evening, verses 31 to 36, we have an assurance. And that assurance is seen in God's character. He does not change. For the Lord, verse 31, will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. God doesn't change. And in the midst of the trials, the sufferings, the tribulations, all the difficult times, this is a reassurance. God does not change. Maybe we look at the church in our town and our nation today and we think, well, can these dry bones live? Can the church live and rise up again? Let's remember that the God of a generation ago when there was revival in the town and in the community, God has not changed. So let's turn it over to him. Let's bring it to the Lord. God does not, the Lord will not cast off forever. He, we're told in verse 32, will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. See how it all comes together. It's his steadfast love again. His mercies are not only new every morning, they are everlasting. And he corrects us. We have to go through afflictions, and the Lord corrects us. But that doesn't mean he washes his hands over us. The God who allows the trials and the sufferings to come, we think, what's going on? Why are we going through this? The God who allows trials to come is also the one who removes them once they have achieved their purpose. And a little bit later on in that chapter, Hebrews 12, I quoted earlier, just a few moments ago, we read these words, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You could say with the psalmist, you might look back someday and say with the psalmist, it was good for me to be afflicted so I could learn your decrees. Take note of verse 33, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. And we know this because of his love for us. We've been looking at his steadfast love this evening. God has in view for us what he wants for us. He wants the very best. And he wants our holiness. And he wants our maturity rather than some fleeting happiness or something superficial. He wants to do a deep work in our life. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be mature. James writes, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Why? For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. But steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's what God wants us to be, holy, mature. Let's remember then, God is a God of steadfast love, a God who allows afflictions and trials to come our way to make us more like the person he would want us to be. And let's remember as well that God is a God of justice. We wonder, well, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to godly people? But, you know, God is a God of justice. And we're reminded of this in verses 34 to 36. To crush underfoot all the prisoners of the earth, to deny a man justice in the presence of the Most High, to subvert a man in his lawsuit, the Lord does not approve. So God is a God of justice. And he is concerned, and evil will be punished. As Paul writes, do not be deceived, a man reaps what he sows. And ultimately, the situation that Jeremiah was looking at, Babylon was overthrown. We're reminded of that in the 2 Chronicles 36 passage I read. Ultimately, it was until the Persians came to the fore. So Babylon was overthrown. They did reap what they sowed. But ultimately, we know from the scripture as well, the righteous will be vindicated. As we close this evening, let's just consider and reflect for a moment. See the faithfulness of God in the midst of affliction. God is faithful. To those who persevere and continue to seek him, seek to do his will and submit to him, God is faithful. See God's faithfulness displayed in his character. He will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Tale of an old Scottish lady who said, I tremble on the rock, but the rock never trembles under me. I tremble on the rock, but the rock never trembles under me. God is steadfast. We tremble. We have our afflictions, we have our trials, but God is steadfast. God is faithful. Let's rejoice tonight in the faithfulness of God. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. God's mercies come day by day. Let's learn to bow down, give thanks, and worship Him, and submit to Him day by day. And let us seek to live and to persevere, continue to seek Him, and remember our God is a faithful God. And God is He is concerned, and He is a God of justice, and He'll work out His plans, both for you and for me, and indeed for the church, and indeed for the nations of this world. He'll bring them to completion. Amen. And we are going to sing, as we close this evening. I know that we usually sing this hymn in morning services. So obviously, with what we've read and studied tonight, it's appropriate to sing it tonight. It is the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It is appropriate to sing it after looking at this passage. If you want to use the hymn book, I don't know if anyone's got the hymn book, it's 168, but it is, of course, up on screen. So let's rise and sing as we close together this evening.
Compassion.
and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, this night and forevermore. Amen.